Hello and welcome to the Groovy Calamari podcast. I am your host, Sergio Del Amo. What's Groovy Calamari? Groovy Calamari is a free curated publication of interesting links around Micronaut, Grails, the Groovy ecosystem, and basically anything that I'm currently working on. The Groovy Calamari podcast covers similar topics, but in an audio format. We also take the chance to interview upcoming GreechConf 2019. Speakers and sponsors. Grich will take place on March from the 28th until the 30th. Tickets are available for sale at grichconf.com. The Groovy Calamari podcast is never longer than 60 minutes, so let's get started. Today I am joined by Pablo Martinez. Hello, Pablo. How are you?
Hi, Sergio. Nice to talk to you again.
Yeah. Pablo is an old friend of mine. We work together in Soptimix for 2 years, more or less.
I have been reviewing my LinkedIn profile to be sure.
Yeah, so you are, we work in Soptimix. Soptimix was a startup that we were working on. We were in Madrid, but you are not originally from Madrid, right?
Right. Actually, I'm from Zaragoza. It's a, if you don't know, it's a city that is placed between Madrid and Barcelona, just in the middle, more or less in the north of Spain, close to the Pyrenees. A great place to live, though.
But you moved to Madrid pretty soon.
Yes. Actually, it wasn't a choice. I just finished my degree at the university in 2009. It was the worst moment of the crisis here in Spain. So I have been told all my life, don't worry, before you finish university, you will get a job here in Zaragoza. But things changed, and at the end of the degree, there was no jobs in Zaragoza. There were no jobs in Zaragoza. So I had to move to Madrid, and yes,
that was 2009.
Yes, September 2009. I moved to Madrid, and I started to work to a big company in Spain, a consultants company, and I have to say that my first steps in my career were more focused in electronics rather than in programming.
Yeah, because you are not a computer science engineer, right?
No, right. I am an industrial engineer, and I am specialized in electronics and electricity components. Mm-hmm. But of course, nowadays, all the electronic has software inside, and you have to program. I already enjoy the programming, but my focus was on electronics. You know, resistors, capacitors, microchips, this kind of stuff in green boards, what we can see inside of our computers.
At that point, when did you start working with Android?
Well, right this year in 2009, at Christmas, I give myself as a present one of the first Android devices that were on the market. It was an LG Android phone with a flip keyboard. Maybe you remember those times. There were a lot of.
I remember. I had a Motorola Razr, which has the clamps, so it has like a keyboard.
Yeah.
Probably so, I have it around in one room.
Yes, me too. I have all my old phones in the store. So I started Android just out of curiosity. I like to program as a hobby, so I played a bit with the SDKs. I have to say that I have only experience with C as a programming language. I have no idea of Java, so I have to learn by myself some Java to be able to run my first app. And as I was from Zaragoza and I had recently moved to Madrid, I was a bit lost with public transport. So I decided to make an app to just show the Metro map of Madrid. So I just embedded a PDF map and made an app, just this silly app.
Metro is the
but
underground
that's...
of Madrid, for those who don't know.
Oh, yes.
So same as me, I come from a city where there is no such a... We don't have underground in Guadalajara, of course, but we almost have... we have public transport, but it's not like... as widely used as it is in a city as Madrid. So Madrid has a big underground network, is like 10 lines, something like that.
Yes, and also a train network, and also two kind of bus networks. So for me to go to work, I had to take one metro and also one train. So it was a problem for a person who hasn't been in Madrid.
Yeah. So you started with Android. I guess that's the best way to start with any technology, trying to create a real product.
Yes.
Because, you find the difficulties.
Yes, a solution for a real problem.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's good. So that was, did you release, I guess you released in 2010 to the Play Store,
right.
Or that was something only on your device?
No, in the Play Store. I knew those times it was called Android Market. So I released it just for fun, just for learning.
As
a hobby. Yeah. As a sorry, I have to say, I released it as a paid app.
Originally as a paid app.
Yes, because at this time there was no other option to monetize an app. There was no advertising network. The AdMob was still a startup, just beginning. So in 2010, I released the app as
there was
a paid app.
Not in a purchase at that time either, right?
No. There was almost nothing.
Yeah.
I think I was a pioneer.
Yeah, that was really early stages in especially in Spain, Android market probably.
Yeah. Actually, when at work, I say to my colleagues, "Hey, I have released an Android app." Most of the people told me, "Oh, just the iPhones are going to work. Android is just a copy. That's not going to work. You are losing your time, et cetera, et cetera."
Yeah, now Android has a big market share in Spain. I think it's like probably the biggest market share in any country.
It's
90% market share in Spain.
90%, it's one of the biggest markets in the world in a country relative position of view.
How were the sales of that initial version?
Well, as you can imagine, they were not very impressive. I remember the first time I got a notification about a purchase, someone purchasing the app. It was really exciting. I was at my job, and it was like, oh my god, someone has bought my app.
I can imagine.
But as you can imagine, I just saw maybe one application a week was just terrible. So,
but you kept developing this thing. Even if the
just for fun. But at this moment, I just realized that I was not going to reach selling the app. So one day, I just decided to release a free version. So I had two apps in the. In the store, the previous one that was you have to pay €1, and the second one that was free. Just around this moment, I knew about AdMob. AdMob was offering advertising for Android mobile apps. So I installed the SDK and I started to monetize the free version with ads. And I have to say that I just released the free version and I forget about it for a while. Maybe I leave the development for a month without checking the metrics, without checking notifications. I was distracted. I don't remember, but probably with work stuff or holidays. And then one day I just entered the Google Play dashboard and I was surprised that I had more than 500 installations every day. So it was like shocking. I can't believe it. Last month I just have one or two installations a week, and now that I have a free version, I have around 100 installations a day. It was like, wow, incredible.
Yeah, for those who don't know, Madrid is around, 4 million.
5 million.
5 million Madrid and the surroundings, yeah. And many people from where I live go to work to Madrid, so there is a lot of commuting. Mm. And many people, I used to do that myself, go either with bus or with train to Madrid, and then they take the underground or a bus combination. So there is... Yeah, potentially there is a lot of people who can benefit from such an app. I can imagine that you were amazed by the numbers. Was the AdMob integration at that point already the same? Was like banners in the bottom and full screen? How do they call it?
Interstitials.
Yeah, interstitials. It's a name unpronounceable. Yeah. Those are like full screen ads, right?
But at this time, there were only banners.
Yeah, at the bottom, like a small banner at the bottom.
Yeah, just like in a website. Actually, at the beginning, the banners were at the top, like in websites.
Like in the website, like in the newspapers.
Because we were used to that. But then we realized, developers, that people cannot reach the top of the screens in mobiles. So you have to make things easier. And as the menus are at the bottom, also nowadays adverts are at the bottom.
Yeah. So people click them in accidentally.
I wouldn't say so.
So I remember you told me once an experiment that there was a point where you released a version which have you had the options to pay to remove ads.
Yeah,
but was not really I pay for a lot of apps like that option to remove ads from some versions. Mm-hmm. But you told me, if I recall correctly, you told me that not many people were taking that option.
No. At this moment, I have two apps. I have the paid version and the free version with adverts. So my first approach was, okay, if you like the app, you want a free version, just you can purchase the paid version. But then you realize that if you are developing for, let's say, 100 years, and somebody has paid for your app €1, he will have your app for free. Not for free. He will use your paid version 100 years, just paying €1. So that's unsustainable. So I decided to quit the paid version and start a freemium model, like many games today and many apps today. So I offer as a net purchase, removing the ads, for a time, for example, 6 months, 1 year, 2 years. It depends how much you pay. You get more time with free ads, but there is an expiration time, and then you have to pay again. It's not like a subscription, because I am still using in-app purchase, regular in-app purchase.
Yeah, I believe they call them consumable in-app purchases, at least in
iOS. Right. Yes, this kind of what I do is I consume them when the time expires.
Yeah.
So I offer that because some users write me emails telling me, I don't like to use the app with us. If you offer me an option to pay something, I will pay willingly. Yeah. So I developed that. I have to say that the in-app purchase SDK is not an easy one in Google Play. It's not easy to manage, but I invest my time to prepare it and integrate. But I have to say that we have around more than 300,000 unique users a month, and we get less than 10 in-app purchase votes a month. So
how many? Those numbers are from today.
How many users?
Yeah, the monthly active users, you say.
Is among 300,000 and 400,000. It depends of if we are if there are holidays, we have less users because people don't have to commute to work, or young people that go to university don't have to go to school or university. So we depend a lot of this kind of seasons.
Amazing. But,
Yeah, I know. I have been talking with other developers, and we can be proud of that.
Yeah, you should be proud. Let's rewind on time before you got those numbers. Mm-hmm. So you were working in this consultancy company, released this app on the site, and you were like testing the waters, learning Android, learning Java.
Yes.
I believe you changed jobs, so you went to Samsung after the consultancy company, is that correct?
Yes, during 3 years, I was working at the consultancy company, and at night I was developing my Android app and adding more features like, as you can imagine, bus real times, metro lines, train lines, a lot of data, as much as possible real-time data, which is the most useful for your users. And I started to join meetups about Android, about applications, about developing. So in one of those meetings, I remember it took place in, it was called Update. It was an event that took place in Impact Hub Madrid, co-working, and I just met by chance the human resource manager of the recruiter of Samsung Electronics in Madrid, and he told me that his wife was using my app, she was very happy with it. And he asked me if I was interested in a position as a Android developer on an R&D department that was about to be open in Madrid. So
that sounded amazing for you, I imagine.
Yeah.
You were not working in Android in the consultancy company, right?
No. It was just.
That was like perfect for you.
Yeah. Because
at that point, was that point where Samsung was like, seemed like they were taking over the world and they were selling.
They were the king at that moment.
That was like the golden days for Samsung before the Chinese manufacturers flooded the market.
Yes, they have just released the Samsung Galaxy S2 and S3. They were very successful devices, they have more than half of the share market in Spain actually. So they were the kings. They had benefits. They were opening Android departments all over the world, and they decided to open one here in Spain.
That was cool.
So I say yes, of course, and I have to say that we have to pass three interviews, technical interviews, personal interviews. We have to meet our Korean managers, and luckily I passed the test and the interviews, and I joined Samsung.
Amazing. And you were working there for 2-3 years?
2 years. 2 years exactly.
Why did you quit?
Oh, well, that's a good question. When I joined Samsung, I have to say I have learned a lot there. I have the chance to travel all around the globe. I went to Korea, to Seoul, to the main headquarters. I had a chance to work in San Francisco. I visited a lot of places. But 2 years after joining Samsung, I just realized that working for a big company, or as many people say, there is a lot of bureaucracy. You cannot make a lot of experiments, so you just have to do the work you are told to do. You don't have a lot of opportunities to try new things. So I just realized that I was missing the time before joining Samsung, because I didn't tell you, but one of the requisites to join Samsung was to stop developing apps in my free time.
So they have like a policy like Apple. I believe Apple, if you join Apple, you need to like stop developing for open source.
Yeah,
mistaken, but I believe that that's a policy that I really don't understand, but I think many big companies have.
Like yes,
if you work for them, not even in your free time can you work on your side projects.
Yes, it's a matter of copyright. I think they believe that you are going to copy things you are learning inside the company, and you are going to profit by yourself outside. But I think it's just the opposite. It's what we learn outside the company, we use at the company. So
yeah, I think it's,
because many times you don't have time to learn inside a company.
Yeah, I would say most of the times.
Yes.
Yeah, so at that time,
I was missing that, yeah.
The app was, I guess that the app was doing good, and since you were not allowed to work on your side projects, that was like a kick to leave Samsung, yeah. Am I correct?
Yeah. So I was thinking in making a company, or at least try to do it, become an entrepreneur, as we say nowadays. So before joining Samsung, what I did with my apps is I had a friend that was also a developer and marketing specialist. So I make an agreement with him. So I like he borrowed my app during the time I was at Samsung. He was in charge of keeping it up to date. And after Samsung, we talk again, and we decided to make a company together and start working together, and not only on this app but in many more.
So we founded a company.
We founded a company.
What's the name of the company?
It's Green Lions of Desarrollos Digitales in in English would be Reliance of Digital Development Incorporation. Incorporate. So we just make officially, we started to pay, to get money from the app, pay, and make all our company does, it is paid, all regulated. We started to think in new apps, but at this time when we didn't make a lot of money. We were making around 500 euros a month. Two people cannot live on that amount of money. So this is the reason that I think you contact one of my colleagues in Samsung, and this colleague told you to meet me on LinkedIn, and I think it's at the time we met each other. I'm right or not?
Yeah, I was working on Soptimix
already
for
like
1 year. We were originally developing the iOS app, and we were pretty thin on development people in the company, and we wanted to hire an Android developer. And I did my rounds of spamming through LinkedIn, and yeah, it's really complicated to hire people. If I was never in the position to do that, but if you are, it's amazing because, yeah, there is no unemployment in the development community, and it's really tough. So basically, yeah, I remember perfectly one friend of yours that we approached through LinkedIn told me I am not interested, but this guy. And I remember there was a conference called DroidCon. Which was getting close, and you were going to the conference. I went to the conference, meet you there, and talk you to work with us in Soptimix.
At this time I thought that it was a very interesting opportunity to learn how a startup company works, and also it was an opportunity to make some money because I wasn't making enough money to live on my apps. So it was a win-win.
I think it's a good philosophy, like grow the side projects organically. I don't think it's a bad idea. I think, in fact, that's probably a healthier idea for the ecosystem, because people end up building sustainable companies that actually do money and are able to pay the founders or the employees. I think that was great. So we were working on Soptimix for 2 years. We launched the Android app, we launched the iOS apps. We closed the company, unfortunately, and at that point you just had your first baby, I believe.
I had my daughter was born in 2016 at November. We closed the company in December.
But that point the side project was doing good enough that you could sustain yourself with that already.
Yes, in those 2 years, the income was growing little by little every month. And just after quitting Soptimix, I have the full time dedicated to the apps. Also, I think there is, at the very same time, there was like a revolution in advertising. I see there was a switch from web to mobile, and advertising networks started to pay more, much more. So figures increased a lot, and it became a sustainable company. Both my colleague and me can live on this company, and we even have hired from time to time some freelancers to make like the design of new apps or iOS development. So
Because you have, apart from the, so the public transport app is called Madrid Metro Cercanías.
Metrobus Cercanías, yes. Maybe you think it's an ugly name, but it's perfect for
search engine optimization, I guess. Search,
right, yes. I think that was one of the key points of for Sussex, using a name that was easy to search on.
Yeah, I think that's is one factor. Before we closed the company, actually, you did something funny, which was you wrote a book about about building a company from. So more or less, you wrote a book about your story, right?
Yes, my colleague in the company likes writing a lot. So he told me, why don't you write a book, just publish it online, like an ebook on Amazon store and so on? I thought it was not a bad idea. So little by little, we wrote the chapters. We wanted to make it a bit not just talking about me and my story. We looked to make it some like an introduction for people that is starting to develop apps with some tips and tricks, I would say. So we wrote it. It took more than a year, I think.
What's the name
actually,
of it?
It's a Spanish book. It is called Cómo crear una empresa con una app. It's like how to build a startup of a company with an app. I just talk about like a little. I have been talking today is about the origins, how I started with creating a solution from for an actual problem, how I learned that the paid and free models were not very useful and moved to a freemium model. I talk also about some technical problems I encountered.
I bought the first edition, but I see that there is a second edition. What's new in the second edition?
Well, we have to make a second edition because the first edition was just a digital edition, and then a book company approached us, told us that they wanted to make a print version to be sold on the stores. So we cannot just copy the original version to and print it, so we had to make a second edition and add some chapters. So we also add some chapters about company management, what you need to open a company, about taxes, about banks, this kind of bureaucratic stuff that is also interesting. That we don't learn at the university or at the high school. And I think that's a problem in Spain.
A big problem, in my opinion.
So finally, we made this second edition, and it is available in the stores, in some stores in Spain.
Yeah, I haven't read the second edition. I read the first edition, and it's an easy read. I believe at that point we just had our first baby, and I think I read it one night where my baby went to sleep. My wife was not at home, and I was like all the night with the baby in a sofa.
Right.
I read the ebook. If
I know what you talk about.
Anyone wants to learn more about Pablo in a longer format, I will include a link to the book in the show notes.
It's available in Amazon.
I will probably link to the if you don't tell me otherwise, I will link to the Amazon link.
Yeah,
open in front of me. So I wanted to talk also about, apart from the public transport app, you have several other apps.
Yes.
Right, would you like to talk about them or?
Yes, we have right now. We have 18 apps. We have because you cannot depend in just one app. If these apps for me, if one day you have to remove this app, you need to be able to get money from other apps. So we decided to make experiments and find another niches to monetize. So we have also an app that about the pollution in Madrid. We have also an app to with all the beaches in Spain. You can find the names and the locations of any beach in any town in Spain, in the Mediterranean Sea, Canary Island, in the north of Spain. And we also provide the tides. As you know, in the north of Spain, sea tides are very high. So if you go to the beach when it's high tide, you cannot swim, you cannot lie on the beach because there is no sand. The sand is covered by the water. So it's something useful if you just want to go to the beach or to fish. We also create many apps for transportation, for public transportation in other cities. We have Zaragoza, we have train apps for 13 capitals here in Spain. We are now working in more apps for Barcelona and other big capitals here in Spain.
Cool thing. How are the other apps doing? I assume it's like for Apple, like the iPhone is like 75% of their sales. I assume for you it's probably the same. But are you getting some traction in any other apps?
Well, we released Zaragoza version for Madrid CBC, for Madrid Metrobus Cercanías. So we are getting a good response from this point of view. We have been working to make easier to create new apps for other cities. We have been investing a lot of time the last year on a Sharef core base of code, sorry, Sharef code base. We are now seeing the fruits of this investment. So we release Zaragoza. We are working in Barcelona right now. We are seeing that the public transportation is the niche that is working better for us, much more than beaches. As you can imagine, beach apps works better on summer.
I assume it's also like so if you are monetized through advertising,
yes,
you need an app that is like the more it's used, the better, right, for you at the end. So
yeah.
I assume you can have an spectacular tides app, but even if people love the app, they are not going to use it as much as an app they use to go to work every day.
Right. That's the point. So we are focusing right now in things that change every day. I didn't say we also have an application about electricity prices. Electricity prices change every day in Spain. So we thought it was a good experiment to make an app to check which is the cheapest hour every day. It's really easy to make this app. We took less than a month to make it, but it has a lot of traction because many people isn't aware that you can save around half of your bill, electricity bill, every month if you choose the correct time to just like put your washing machine or something like that.
Yeah, to be honest, I am one of those people who don't know about that. For the electricity bill and those kind of bills, I I don't know. I feel I guess many people feel like this in Spain, that you are charged whatever they charge you. And
it's funny that every time, because it's a hot topic here in Spain, electricity prices, because they always go up. And every time that there is a rise, we see on the metrics that we have a lot of downloads. But just at these peak moments when the topic is in the media.
So you developed the apps originally in Java, and I think you moved to Kotlin lately.
Yes, I am 100% Kotlin supporter. I learned Kotlin with the help of Antonio Leiva. He's a very well-known Kotlin teacher, a player. He wrote a book that was featured in the Google I.O. So I really like this new language. It's, as you know, how Java is a very verbose language. Kotlin is really... it's really optimized to write concise code. It's interoperable with Java. So for me, it was like a productivity game. I have already migrated all my apps to Java. All the code base is right now in Kotlin. All the code base is right now in Kotlin. I'm really happy with the outcome of this move.
I assume you have many web server components in order to send data to these apps, like
yes.
What technologies do you use for that?
I have been using the first time I wrote a microservice app was using Grails, because I learned it at Softix. Yeah, I switched to later on to Lambdas. Amazon was the first to provide this kind of technology, but I used the one provided by Google that is called Firebase Functions. But actually, they are just like Lambdas.
You write them in JavaScript, those, right?
Yes, that was terrible for me. So, because I really don't like JavaScript. Probably it's because I'm not used to it, but I don't like it.
So it's another technology in your portfolio is another vector of complexity for you.
Yes. So last year, I was aware of the release of Micronaut. And I have to say that I'm really happy with Micronaut, because it's also developed by the team that is behind Grails. It has support for Kotlin. That was one of the key points for me to try it.
Are you using it with Kotlin?
Yeah. I'm using it with Kotlin. Actually, I have a microservice app running right now in Amazon that is using Micronaut to get the electricity prices.
Nice.
I'm planning to move forward and create more services using Micronaut, because it's really easy. And I'm using really small and cheap instances in Amazon. And maybe you don't know, but you have to pay for the amount of CPU and power you use and memory. So Micronaut delivers a very good performance with a very low CPU and memory footprint. So it's amazing.
We have also, so they allowed in AWS Lambdas for custom runtimes. Graham Roche has been playing the last month, and we are able to. So one of the biggest problems that I see with Java and AWS is the slow startup time. And with GraalVM and Lambdas, if you have like a small set of requirements and you are able to to use GraalVM, you should be able to run like micronaut functions in AWS Lambda with GraalVM, and those should have really fast startup times. We have documentation about it. I need to sit down one day and write a guide, a tutorial about that. But yeah, really, really happy that you are using Micronaut in production. Really happy that you are using it. We see a lot of people that are actually using it with Kotlin as well.
Yeah. I think
for building mobile phone backends is really a good alternative, because as you said, it's really low memory footprint, and you are able to have like cheap to host backends for mobile phone applications, which at the end of the day, it is an important thing, because when you are starting and if you have a free app and but you have to pay a lot of money for just the server that keeps the app running, that's unmaintainable for many people. So we I hope that many people give it a try for mobile phone applications. I think it fits right on the, especially for Android, since you are using with the, since you can basically develop in Java or Kotlin and then move to the backend and develops with the same technologies.
Yes. You can share code.
Yeah, that's a good thing. We have also some integrations with Android. Hopefully you can give it a try. You should be able to use the Micronaut dependency injection within an Android app as well. You haven't tried that already, right?
No. I was curious to see the Android world in Micronaut, but I haven't had time to try.
Yeah.
I just also tried the Lambdas inside Micronaut, but that didn't work for us, not because of the framework, it's because a limitation that there is in Amazon, because there is a limit of, I think it's 30 seconds to get an answer from a Lambda. We deal with what we used to make in this kind of Lambdas is to call an API from a third-party service and get some data and then move it forward to the client. We have to deal with APIs that sometimes take more than a minute to answer. So right now, we cannot use Lambdas because of that.
I think there is. I am running some Micronaut apps in production as well. This very own podcast is the RSS feed is producing a Micronaut app. As you said, I think functions, AWS Lambdas, the Google Cloud Functions, they look real. They look like a real solution for a problem, which is that many times you don't need to have a server running 24 hours a day.
Right. Yes.
But I think it's still early days and there are still some hiccups, but hopefully that those get solved. We are working on getting, actually we released yesterday 1.1.0 milestone 1 version of Micronaut, and that has better integration with AWS. And I think that will continue to be that trend. It's already an hour we are talking, Pablo. I have more things that I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you about the horror story about Christmas.
Yes.
I don't know if that's better for a. Do you want to? We can split the podcast into, or do you want us to keep going?
Let's keep going. I think.
Okay.
We have
so,
time.
Yeah, we can. We can, let's do this. Hopefully we don't get too long. But so the horror story I'm referring to is, if you are subscribed to Groovy Calamari, you have probably read about it. You mentioned before that you were creating more apps to reduce the dependency of a single point of failure.
Yes,
sadly we discovered that the biggest single point of failure for any Android developer is
Google. It's Google. Yeah.
So, bring us to the story. So what happened on the, I believe it's the morning of the 24th of December?
Yes, it was 24th of December. I remember it was in Zaragoza because it was Christmas holidays. So we left Madrid and I told my wife, well, I have finished programming. Oh, everything is okay. All the apps are stable on the market. Let's stop programming and we will continue after Christmas. So let's enjoy the Christmas. We went to Zaragoza to visit my family. Just the 24th of December in the morning, I woke up and I got an email, a cryptic email from Google that just say that our Google Play account was closed, or all our apps were removed from Google Play because prior violations by an associated account, and there was no more info.
So your Google account closed and the apps removed, means they are not longer for sale, or does it means that...
That means they are not on Google Play anymore.
But the users still have those apps in their devices.
Yeah.
So if they can continue using them.
Yes. Yeah. The only thing that stops working are in-app purchase, because in-app purchase are managed by Google Play itself. So, but the rest of the app works as usual. But users aren't aware that the app is not available anymore. They cannot get updates and so on. So it was like something terrible for us. It was like, oh, our company is closed right now. What is worse, in the same email, it was written, don't try to create a new account. All new accounts will be closed. Also, it's like, if you want to continue publishing app, you may choose another distribution channel. It's like, what?
There are no more distribution channels. You can distribute on Amazon store, but here nobody uses Amazon store.
I have to say that this was not the first time I have seen that. Actually, I had a personal account that was closed many months before, also with the very same email. And I was like, why? In the email, they provide you with a link to an appeal form. So it is supposed that if you write to this appeal form, I think a human will review what has happened. And this is the theory. But what actually happened is that I filled the form, I sent the appeal. The 25th in the morning, exactly 24 hours after, at the same second, I got an answer saying that the appeal was rejected and the account remained closed forever.
Python script basically put you out of business.
Yeah. There is no customer support service. There is no way to contact any person or anybody at Google Play. So in comparison with other services, if you have Atmo, you can contact with an Atmo manager, a human person, and you can even phone, you can even meet in person in many events during the year. If you have a Google AdSense account, is the same. You have customer support, you can phone and everything else. But if you are a developer, you just get a Python script.
I think I spotted the trend. I think in all those cases where you have human support, Google makes money.
Yeah. Or makes more money.
Or makes more money.
Yes.
So yeah, that's really terrible.
For me, it was terrible. It was like I tried to cut. Well, you can imagine it's Christmas. I'm not. I don't have my computers. I don't have. Everybody's on holidays. So I was devastated. It's like I have to start to think in finding a new job. Because after your account is closed, even your users still have the app and they can't continue using the app. Your AppMob account is also suspended, so you also stop getting money from advertising. So it was like I tried to contact my AppMob manager because I know her. But she was on holidays, so she was unreachable.
As everyone
Let's
during the
say
month
what.
of
So
December.
I was devastated, and the 30th of December, I just have an idea. So I decided to write an open letter to the head of Google Play. I wrote it on Medium. I explained what I felt, that as developers, we deserve a proper channel to communicate with Google Play and solve these kind of issues. And I addressed it to the Android community and to the head of Google Play, that is a girl called Purnima Kochikar. So I published it on Medium and on Twitter, and I was lucky enough to get some viral traction in the Android community. So I got hundreds of retweets. The article was seen, I think, like 500,000 times. It's crazy, in Medium, because Medium itself, I got an email from a Medium editor, and they asked me permission to feature the article in the main page of Medium. So I get tons of visits. So happily, a person at Google, the Google Developer Relations Manager from Europe, saw it. And the last day of the year, I mean, it was Sunday, it was at night, it was Christmas. He phoned me and he told me, "Hey Pablo, I have seen your problem. I have solved in the past similar issues with companies that got their Google Play accounts closed. So let me check it with the Google Play review team." So at this time, I see that there was light at the end of the tunnel. So I explained what has happened. He told me, "Okay, don't worry. I will contact you with the team that is in India," I think he said. "So I will get an answer." So the first answer he got from India was that the removal was okay. And I wanted to know the reason. So they explained me that my company account was associated with my personal account that was closed. They thought that I was using the company account to just republish apps from the personal account, but it was completely false because I didn't use my personal account. So then I explained it them that my personal account was also closed and I didn't know why. So they told me again that my personal account was closed because it was associated with another account that was from my colleague in the company that was closed due to a copyright policy violation. So I talked with my colleague and he told me, yes, that's right. Around more than 1 year ago, my personal account was closed too. And I don't know why, because I don't have any copyright stuff on it, but I couldn't appeal because I just got the Python script answer. So,
You got the standard appeal process.
yes. So I have to explain. I think the point I got my company account back is I have to explain in a very long email that we were developers, that the company account was completely independent, that the company account creation date was really old. It was way before our personal accounts were closed. So we were not impersonating any account with our company account. And I also provide links to the book I have wrote, to my LinkedIn, or to conference I have joined, just to build like a proper history demonstrating that this company account was a fair one and we were not doing anything wrong. So 23 years later, I just got my company account reactivated, but I got no explanation.
So you got your account reactivated 23 days after it was closed. You lost
Yes.
23 days of revenue, I guess.
We also lost the Google Play
23 days
position.
of installations.
Yes, we were around the top 10 of apps in our category in Spain. We went down to the 500 position,
Wow.
something like that. Well, we just about a month later, I have to say that we are already in the top 20, so we are getting our positions little by little back. But the worst thing is I think I just have changed. I just have luck. I don't know if this is gonna happen again. Actually, just a few days after the recovery, I got many of my apps suspended. It was like, what? Without making any update, I just got many apps suspended again. Not the account, just some apps. So I just had contacted them and asked, okay, I have recovered my account. Are all the apps okay with Google Pay policies? Please let me know if I have to make any change. And they told me everything is okay. And just a few days later, without any change, they suspended many of my apps. It was like, I can't believe what's happening.
Are those back?
So, I
Any
wrote and
explanation?
yes, they told me they had a malicious analytics SDK. But I told them, you say this SDK is installed in one of many of your apps. Please remove it, and we will give you the apps back. But I hadn't this SDK installed, so it was crazy. So I talked to them, and they just enabled again the apps. And since this day, we are fine. But
Fingers crossed.
fingers crossed, we just have realized that we are trapped in Google Play, that our business is trapped with Google. So we have learned the hard way that we have to think in another way of making money or making business without depending so much in Google.
Yeah, the problem
So,
is I know apps such as, I believe, Fortnite in Android is distributing directly the APK, but I think that's a really bad idea in general for users because, in theory, Google Play and App Store should provide a more secure environment for them than going to directly to the developer website and Download the APK, but I know that many people, for example, on the Mac App Store, went into the Mac App Store, and then they have left the Mac App Store because of the restrictions. So I think it's a big issue. I think if you can, if the appeal process are so terrible, if there are basically no, like if you cannot call a human being and talk to the human being, or even an email with one person and get a real answer, if you are out of your own to be lucky enough to publish to write an article in Medium and get some traction, that's a terrible scenario.
I have to say that many people has contacted me, even people from Google, and they have told me, thanks Pablo for writing this article, because it has been discussed. This has been discussed inside Google, because, for example, the AdMob department is suffering this problem. AdMob is making money on developers, and developers get their accounts closed. Developers contact AdMob instead of Google Play, because
it's the only contact they have.
It's the only contact they have, and AdMob people talk with the Google Play department, but the Google Play department ignores them. So they told me. Actually, I got a call from Ireland from AdMob, and they say me, thank you for writing this article, because this is helping us to make a case inside Google and tell, look, this is happening and we have to fix it.
It's not that it's happened to you. As you told me, like if you search in Google, there are many people who are getting this cancellation. And if the issue is the propagation, so that's going to be, I believe it's going to be like a lot of people, because I myself develop an Android app for others. And if I now go to do funky things with my account and those clients get their account, Google Play accounts terminated because at one point in their life they were related to me, that's a terrible scenario for anyone making a living in Google Play.
If you got banned and you share a computer, or you share a Wi-Fi connection with another developer, or you share access to Google Play console, or you share the key store to sign the apps with another person, this person gets automatically associated to you, and risks to be their Google account closed. So this is terrible, because if you make a living, for example, as a consultant developing apps, and they ban you, you cannot work for another person safely, because you probably are going to propagate your ban to like a virus to another people. So that's terrible. It's terrible. And nobody seems to be addressing this issue right now. I don't know if inside Google is there any movement, but externally, no. Yeah. So
hopefully this is something to think about. But, but I think in general they need to police things. They need to put more people employed there and reviewing apps, and people who at the end of the day are making their platform successful, they need to put money behind that and put people answering phones and answering emails.
If you look at iOS, the Apple Store, many people in the past say, wow, you publish an application in the App Store, but you have to wait a week because they have to review the apps. But in Android, you just get the app in less than an hour published. And right now, because Python is very fast. So right now, I'm thinking that maybe the Apple Store times are not the best, but
to be honest, Apple Store times has improved a lot. So I know. Submit apps, I get them approved more or less in one day.
That's fine.
Even sometimes in hours. And I have some interactions with the reviewers.
Actual people.
So there's like a human being who actually I think it honestly the problem is it can be solved putting the resources behind that. And Google, they have the money to put the resources.
Even if we have to pay like an annual fee.
Yeah, if you are like a developer doing some money with the App Store and they told you like you have to pay 1,000 euros to get support, I am pretty sure you will do that. And I think many other successful developers...
Not 1,000, maybe 100.
But many people will do that.
Yeah, we will do.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I am lucky that you had more or less a happy ending.
Yes.
To this story. I want to. So you are coming to Greece, 2019.
Yes.
You will be talking. We published the agenda a couple of days. Couple of weeks ago or days, I don't recall exactly. So the agenda is in agenda.gritchcom.com, which HTTPS, and I believe you are scheduled to talk on Friday.
I think it's right after lunch.
To share horror stories about Google Play with Pablo, I encourage you to come to Gritch and drink a coffee with him. I will talk
about things that I haven't told here.
Pablo has a lot of anecdotes in his.
I think it's about Google Play and these horror histories.
So, do you want to plug anything else, Pablo, before we wrap it up?
If you start making a living on Google Play, you have to think that it can be crossed at any time. So you should have a plan B right now. Our plan B is that we are starting to play with Amazon Echo and Google Home speakers. We are playing with voice apps. In a try to be not fully dependent on Google Play to about these horror histories in the future.
But
so,
those has their own app stores as well, right?
Yeah. Actually, you get trapped in another app store, but at least you have more than one
app store. That's true.
So you have to diversify your income.
Yeah, I think that's a good approach. I think that's a good approach. So if anyone wants to... what's your Twitter account, Pablo?
It's T.A. Martinez, A.
A link in the show notes to that. If you are in Spain, Madrid, use Madrid Metrobus Cercanías. Also, look for Green Lion Soft on Google Play to see all the other apps that the company develops.
Yes.
Buy the book.
I have to say that we haven't got any payment from the book yet.
Yeah, the royalties from books from what I hear are a bit scary.
I think we won't get paid, but that's how it works. Companies that make print books.
Yeah, that's another topic for another podcast, the mm-hmm. book printing industry and the programming books and everything. So I just wanted to thank everyone for listening to the podcast. I want to invite everyone to come to Greece. Thanks everyone for listening. Thank you, Pablo, for taking the time.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. See you.